Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3, and there's a lot to take stock of, especially in terms of the rise in interest rates and also a continued Sino-US tensions that might be influencing markets. And you might be forgiven for forgetting that earnings season in Singapore just wrapped up. There are hopes that the economic rebound that is so much expected from the city-state this year might actually lift the outlook, at least, for Singapore corporates. Today on Money FM 89.3, I'm delighted to have Ms. Carmen Lee, who's the head of research at OCBC. She's joined us on the program to give us the bank's thoughts on how Singapore's conglomerate stacked up during the last earnings season, and whether or not there will be a better tomorrow earnings-wise. Carmen, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while, ma'am. I do want to start off with earnings season. As we mentioned, it just wrapped up. Can you give us OCBC's overall impressions of earnings met expectations for the most?
Thank you very much. As you rightly pointed out, results this month were actually fairly mixed, but now some of them were actually surprisingly good. So for the S3 under our coverage, which we cover about 14 of them, 7 met our expectation and 3 actually exceeded our expectations. Which actually shows that the recovery from the pandemic is not actually taking place and it's quite on track. Not surprisingly, obviously, the hospitality REITs were quite badly hit this round, largely because of the lockdown as well as the haul in terms of the tourism. So as a result, which the pace of recovery was fairly uneven. And countries with larger domestic markets and more stabilized sort of COVID-19 cases and also with the faster rollout of vaccines have actually been able to let the recovery versus countries which have a very small domestic markets. For the property developers, unfortunately, it was a year whereby they took a huge hit in terms of their profits, in terms of the impairment as well as a write-down. And so you saw that actually CapitaLand and City Development recorded their largest ever historical loss. But this is largely because of the impairment charges. For the banking sector, surprisingly, I think UOB beat analyst expectation, and that's actually quite positive. And this round, in terms of the sentiment towards the banking sector, has actually improved tremendously in terms of the outlook. For the rest of the sector, it's fairly mixed. I think you see some good results coming in from perhaps some of the consumer stable companies like Sheng Siong and Golden Agri. But apart from that, the industrial stocks, which are some of the bigger ones like Capcorp and Sembcorp Industry, they actually came in slightly weaker in terms of the fourth quarter.
It seems that overall, it was fairly positive. I do want to touch on the property developers as well. As you mentioned, they did see a lot of losses, and most of these losses, if not all, were down to those strong property value impairments. No surprises. The COVID-19 pandemic has actually hit property valuations, not just in Singapore, but across the world. My question is now, looking forward, will these uncertainties and these potential headwinds to property valuations carry over into the new year, or does this economic rebound perhaps set up the property developers to perhaps bounce back from one of their most challenging years in memory?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you that in terms of the impairment charges, because they've already taken a huge hit in the last year. So this year, going forward, it should actually come off quite a fair bit. But having said that, what's very interesting is obviously that CapitaLand has also just announced yesterday a huge restructuring, which is splitting its businesses into 2 separate units. One will still remain listed and the other one will be privatized. And within the private unit, that's where they're going to house all the real estate development projects. And these are some of the projects that will require a little bit of time to become profitable. And actually, we believe that with this whole new structure, it will actually become a much cleaner sort of structure. And that could also mean that perhaps that would narrow the discount. Currently, a lot of the property stocks, because of the uncertain market outlook, have taken a hit and they have all been trading at huge discount to what their book values are. So as a result of which, property stocks have been fairly neglected. So year to date, last year, property sector was one of the worst hit. But I think going forward, if CapitaLand structure is something that the other property companies also take into consideration, that could also mean that the discount could narrow in the coming 12 to 24 months.
And I'm glad you brought up the news because CapitaLand, as we know, this Tuesday, arguably the runaway leader on the SCI. So with this move, though, it's something that CapitaLand hinted at when they released their full year earnings, that they are preparing to try and unlock some much needed value, at least within the business. The privatization of the real estate development business, you did say that it does isolate some of the long-term risks associated with this particular business. I mean, what kind of risks does this take off the table for investors who might be now getting these CLIM shares once the restructuring is accomplished?
I think as you're quite familiar with the residential property market, there's always a risk of a more property cooling measure. And I think the last month we saw a huge number of property cooling measures that came to the market. That actually caused the residential property stocks to kind of corrected and reacted to it. So removing that component away from the group, which obviously is a huge giant property company, also means that going forward, any property cooling measure will not impact it because now it's more of an asset manager rather than a property developer. So on that front, it's actually to us a much better structure. So at least you don't have that volatility uncertainty. And obviously, there's always this worry that if another round of property measures should come into the market, then what would that mean for property stocks? So that uncertainty has, to me, been removed from the stock. So going forward, the listed company will just probably be an asset manager. And you know that in the world, there are quite a few of these big asset managers, and they really manage huge amount of property. And through that exercise, they can actually also enjoy a certain level of efficiency and economy of scale as a huge asset owner. And that, I think, is also another plus point.
Right. The investment platforms, such as the REITs or their ownership of CapitaLand, will be transferred underneath CLIM. Will this have any impact on the REITs of CapitaLand given the restructuring, or is this just them pretty much moving from one room in the CapitaLand house to another?
I think it's actually really quite a clean structure. So as a result of which, if you're a CapitaLand shareholder, you end up with the listed company, which is just really going to be an asset manager. And you don't really have to worry about a huge discount. Currently, as a huge conglomerate in terms of owning quite a various aspect of the whole property chain, you actually are subjected, certain part of it is actually subjected to this whole, like, what is it, discount, largely because of the residential development property part of it. And so once this is now privatized into Temasek, as a shareholder, effect is actually cleaner. And obviously, that is where they actually are able to give you much better shareholder value. So as a result, which you can see that actually the share price has reacted quite nicely to this piece of development.
All right, we're still speaking to Ms. Carmen Lee, the head of research at OCBC here on Money FM 89.3. We were talking about earnings earlier on, and we took a deeper dive into all the changes within the CapitaLand and the restructuring within Singapore's largest property developer. But we want to shift our attention back to earnings. And looking forward, we have also noticed that recent rise in yields and higher inflation expectations seems to fit global markets. Singapore, though, more or less weathering the storm better than others. But earnings-wise, will the recent rise in yields and higher inflation expectations globally hit the earnings of corporates moving forward?
I think in terms of the recent increase in yield and inflation, we see this as quite a normalization as economies recover from a deep sort of slowdown. So in this case, if you look at last year, 2020, it was a very sharp recession for most economy. And this year is a strong turnaround. And usually with any picked up historically, it's always been shown that interest rate as well as inflation will start to creep up as the economy starts to recover. So we see this as part of the whole normalization of any economic recovery. But on the earnings front, I think this round, because of the fact that last year, Singapore market didn't do as well as the rest of the world, actually because we have a huge percentage of very solid value and what I would call cyclical sort of stocks listed on the Singapore Exchange. So as a result of it, last year, the whole team was about growth stocks, which are the growth stocks, which are the companies which are able to go digital and which are the companies that are able to take their businesses online. So, and Singapore companies are traditionally your banks, your real estate, your telco, your industrial. So as a result of which, they were not able to benefit as much as the growth sector. But for this year, with the economic recovery, the rollout of the vaccine, the possibility that travel could come back in again, I think that a lot of the companies which are in other sectors could possibly benefit, and that will include your retail, hotel, tourism, and even your banks. So I think in terms of the earnings for the next 12 to 24 months, to me, the outlook is a lot more positive at this point in time versus a year ago.
Does that positive outlook, though, carry over to aviation-related stocks? We've seen the likes of, say, SIA and SATS, for instance, gaining significantly since the start of the year on hopes of a strong post-pandemic rebound. But do you think folks might be getting a little ahead of themselves? Because it could be argued that if there is a sector that has more uncertainty than others with relation to the pandemic, it is aviation, airlines, and some of these aviation-related stocks. What are OCBC's thoughts on this sector?
I think we're quite positive about the whole global rollout in terms of the vaccine. And I think you can see that it has been quite successful. And there's also the possibility of travel bubbles. And so Well, this is actually happening on a very slow pace. We believe that it will gather momentum in the coming quarters. And if that's the case, then obviously there will be a resumption of travel. And hopefully that will also benefit the tourism trade in a very significant way. So if that's the case, then aviation stocks, which were quite badly hit last year, have already started to discount part of the possibility that the earnings will start to recover this year. And I think that this is a gradual, but definitely on the right track to slowly come back and as economies open up gradually in the coming 2 to 3 quarters.
How long, is it too lofty to perhaps see earnings return to 2019 levels this year? Or do you think it's going to take a little bit longer based on what you're seeing, Ms. Lee?
I think it will still take a bit longer because even here in Singapore, we are not talking about any significant travel plans for the next 1 quarter or so. So if anything, it most likely will happen perhaps later part of 2021 or most likely 2022. And that will definitely not benefit this year's earnings. So in terms of the earnings recovery, it most likely will only take place in the next, I think, maybe 24 months or so. But having said that, I think the share price has reacted quite nicely, largely because of the fact that there's the optimism that we have already reached the bottom. And from now onwards, it's really on a path to recovery.
So perhaps the comeback story for Singapore in 2021 can indeed continue, and we'll see if earning can give it an additional boost moving forward. I'd like to thank Ms. Carmen Lee, Head of Research at OCBC, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share her thoughts on the recent earnings season in Singapore, the earnings outlook, and also her thoughts on the recent shakeup within CapitaLand. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, we hope you have a great Tuesday ahead, Matt.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.